We are going through the series called Fences and how to bring down the fences. And I want you to understand, I'm not talking about the fences in your backyard. We're not talking about bringing down the walls around your house. We're not talking about bringing good fences. There is good fences, fences that protect us from sin in our lives and from relationships that can lead us into the wrong direction. But we're talking about fences that we have in our lives, in our hearts. And today, the title of my message is Being Christ-like. Being Christ-like. I want to talk about fences that we have with people who don't know Jesus. You know, anybody here knows somebody who doesn't know Jesus? Let me see your hands, please. Anybody? Yeah, everybody knows somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And you know that they need him because you need him and I need him and we all need him. Now, the other part of the sermon is how to bring down fences with difficult people in our lives. How many of you guys have at least one difficult person in your life? Let me see your hands, please. Yeah, some of you guys are. Don't make it too obvious if it's your spouse, but it might be that person next to you. So let's open the Bibles today in 1 John 2:6. And I want to talk about being more like Christ, because Jesus, even if he had all the power and all the influence and all the things that you can imagine, he was still very personal. He was still a very, 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 very personal God. And God has called us to be personal, because when you become personal, when you have a relationship with somebody, it's easier to share the word, to share your story, to talk to somebody, and they can find to know you also and what God is doing in your life. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him is in Jesus, are to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever says, if you say that you are a Christian, the Bible says, you and I who call ourselves as Christians, we are to walk, we have to walk in the same way in which he walked. Have you ever walked over a fence? You just walk over a fence, like you just keep walking. Have you ever walked over a fence? It's impossible to just walk. You got to bring the fence down if you want to cross that piece of line. Yes or no? And Jesus was an expert in not creating fences with people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today because you are so great. And I ask you, God, you would help us to understand your word. Lord, there is people in this room, there is people all around the world, God, including myself, who need to know how to destroy the fences that separate us from the difficult person, that separates us from the unbeliever, the ones who mocks God, the ones who doesn't want to know anything about Jesus. Lord, help us to be a blessing, to walk like you, to walk like you. Help us to understand this word, God, please. Thank you for what you do in our lives, and we name in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. The second scripture I want you to go is to Ephesians. Verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore be what? Imitators of God as beloved children. And again, it says what? And walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The purpose of Christ on earth was one. And what was that purpose? The redemption of your soul. Amen? That was the purpose of Christ in this world, was the redemption of your soul. So, is my microphone? I'm just screaming as I don't hear myself. It's my own problem, probably. But we need to be more like Christ and bring down fences. Let me put a picture in your head. There is people around you who are not believers. And then there is people around you who are difficult. And I'm not just talking about non-believers or non-Christians. Even people who are Christians and are difficult in your life. And the Bible says that we need to do one thing. W-A-L-K. Did I spell that right? We need to do what? Walk. Be imitators of Christ and walk as Christ walked. You cannot walk into somebody's life if there is a fence in between you and them. Yes or no? I'm not just talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking in your heart. I'm talking in your life. Some of us even struggle with our kids. And I don't want to go too deep there. But we have to understand that if our sons and our daughters have not surrendered their life to Jesus, and we don't understand that much of their behavior is because they have not really surrendered their life to Jesus, and they don't have a relationship with Christ. If you don't understand that reality, you are going to have a big temptation to build a wall with that person. We get so frustrated with people around us. Some of them call themselves Christians, and some of them are Christians, but many of them are not. So my first point today is I should connect with others, even if it looks like they're bothering me. And I know that sounds kind of a little different, but I want you to go with me to Matthew 9, 13, 15. And I want you to see a story here where there were some kids who were not bothering Jesus at all. Who they were really bothering were who? The disciples, who represents our human nature. And the kids came to Jesus to be blessed and to spend time with Jesus. The parents brought their kids. And it doesn't seem like they are bothering Jesus at all. But these guys, and this is again in the name of Jesus, they said, get the kids out of here because they are bothering our master. Go with me. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them, which was a very typical, normal practice when you pray and you bless somebody in the Jewish community, in the Hebrew culture. So they brought to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples called the parents for what? Bothering him. Are they bothering Jesus? Yes or no? They are not. Jesus is having a great time. He has a great heart, and he loves those kids in a tremendous way, the same that he loved everybody. And they call the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. So they not bother. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Let me talk to you and me this morning. We build fences with people who are bothering our human side. Does somebody ever get bothered here, or is it just me? Some of us have a higher tendency to be bothered by people. Let's be very honest. You have a couple, you have two friends, you have two, three people together in a relationship, and there are some who everything bothers them. And I love this story, and I wish I had more time, but I want you to just think about this. The Bible says that this guy said, they called their parents. How many of you guys are good at scolding people? I think I'm pretty good at that. Anybody else here? Pretty good at scolding, you know? You know how to do it. You grew up with somebody who probably teach you how to do it. Not wanted to teach you, but that was your mom. That was your dad. That was somebody that you grew up with. And so these guys grew up probably, and they knew how to scold. What is to scold? To straighten them up. To tell them what was wrong. To tell them to stop doing. And it is. I love this because they sound so spiritual. They are defending the Lord. Listen, my friend, some people are scolding others in church because they think they are defending the Lord. They're defending the church. But what they are doing is really defending something that is important for them, and they are being bothered. That Jesus was not bothered. You agree with me there? Jesus was not bothered at all. And when I read this as a pastor, I hear the voice of God saying, is this something that bothers you that doesn't bother me at all, but it just bothers you as a pastor? Or as a guy who grew up in a different culture or with a different mentality, with a different idea? Are you following me here? Come on. And he says, but Jesus said, what? They're not bugging me at all. Let the children come to me. Because, very indirectly, he's very nice, he says, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are, almost, if I be me, he says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who act a little more like kids and not like you guys, 12. He doesn't say that because he's way nicer than me, you know what I'm saying? But what about the people that bothers you? 17, 18 years ago, when I came to this church, man, there were things who bothered me. And I had discussion in staff meeting with Pastor Jude, Pastor Kelly, Pastor Eric, with Pastor Jerome, and they were so, and I can tell you stories, man. And the older I get, the more I understand they did not bother Jesus at all. It bothered me in my way of thinking, in my culture. I grew up welding and working with metal, so that's the stairs that are there. Somebody asked me to build them, so that's why they're not straight, but they are welded together. They're still there, you know. The whole thing is like that, and it goes like, if you really look from, who built this? Well, that was me, you know. But I welded that, and there were a couple kids who came Thursdays. They did not grow up like me, where when an adult speaks to them, they straight up and they do what the adult says. They didn't have a father. I knew them very well. These were 10, 12-year-old kids who the mom worked in the night and in the day, and one of the pastors who visited them went to the bathroom, and the bathroom was stuck with Playboy magazines. That's where these kids, this is the house where they're coming from. And they would go up there, and they would slide down those things. And you know, that kind of dangerous if you think. They bothered me, and I said, stop, once or twice. They didn't stop. It seemed like once, you know those kids, that the more you tell them something, the more they get so excited to be disobedient, and that just boils my German blood. You know, it's like, I can almost feel it right now. And I grab one kid and I put him against the wall, bam, like this high, and I start screaming. And the other pastor who grew up in America said, you don't touch a kid in this country. He said, you cannot do anything to me. I'm going to call the cops. And I look at the kid and I said, I can do to you whatever I want to do to you. And that just, right there, I said something that could take me to jail. You know that. But they bother me. They bother me. They push my button. But listen. These kids were in the disciples' life because of Jesus. If Jesus wouldn't be in this disciples' life, where would these guys be? You know where they would be, fishing and doing other things. And these kids here outside of this building were in my life. Why? Because of Jesus. Because I should have just been somewhere else in South America, maybe building something. So look at the person next to you. Make me a big favor. Look at them and say, is there somebody that bothers you? Please. Is there somebody that bothers you, Pastor Luis? Yes or no? Is it possible that Jesus put that person in your life? Because the Lord could have sent me to Africa as a missionary where everybody behaves perfectly. Not in Bernalillo. Is it possible that the Lord knows that you have some buttons who are totally in human nature and have nothing to do? And I have another question that I asked myself this morning. It just came to me. I was praying there. Is there possible?
Is it possible that God, is it possible that when they push your buttons, they are not pushing a button that has to do with being more like Jesus, but it's just your human nature? Is that possible? Yes or no? Because you look at the story, and these kids are bugging the heck out of the disciples. Do not waste the time of the Lord. He has more important things to do. Let's listen to our minds. I have more important things to do today than taking care of this person that is in a mess and they bugging me and they want this and they want that and they want all this stuff. And I have more important things to do that satisfy me more, and it has nothing to do with being more like Jesus. But we need to bring down those fences, because I was struggling this week with this same subject. Man, I woke up one morning and trying to pray. My mind is going bananas about a person that is bugging me lately, bugging me tremendously. And I came to church and I started working in this message, and the person keeps bugging me. You know when they keep running in your head after 2-3 hours still? And I was looking about this whole subject, and I wrote, and I read this in one of the things that I'm preparing and studying about this subject. This is what I read. Even Moses' own siblings were jealous of his leadership, Numbers 12:2, and complained to God about the brother, which is Moses, and his Cushite wife. Moses went for 40 years. 40 years he lived in Egypt, kills somebody, goes for 40 years, and marries somebody who is not a Hebrew. And then the Lord calls him to lead for another 40 years. He started to lead the Israelites out of Egypt when he was 80. And he had married before he was 80 in a different land with a woman who was not a Hebrew. And who? Mary and Aaron, the two right and left hand, is like two of the pastors in this church starts bugging me because you married the wrong woman. And that is not approved in the law. And that is wrong. And the Lord says, and we can go there forever. And I read this. The two siblings were jealous of his leadership, and they start bugging, and they start talking to God. They start talking to people about Moses' Cushite wife. And this is hit me. Yet Moses didn't retaliate against this annoying group of people. He didn't even defend himself against the harsh accusations. Instead, he demonstrated amazing humility and compassion on those he leads, repeatedly interceding for them. And it hit me like a wall. And the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on earth. And this, the two brothers, the brother and sister, right and left hand in his leadership, leading millions of people through the desert, they start this whole gossiping, this whole talking trash. And Moses couldn't ask fire from heaven, couldn't ask some lions to show up, couldn't just do whatever. He had the power. And the Bible says that he never fights back. Why am I saying this? Am I saying you should never say anything? What I am saying is, a lot of times we are so bugged, and who is bugged inside of us is not the Holy Spirit or the desire to be more like Jesus. It's just what? Our human nature. Our human nature. As a pastor, let me tell you something that's going to really encourage you to be a pastor. Sometimes I get these phone calls from people who are related somehow to people. I've been here for 19 years, so you can imagine how many people came and left this church. Some of them did not left through the big door. They left talking trash, and they left gossiping, and they left with a wrong attitude. Are you here with me? Are you following me? But they're not in this church for years sometimes, and they did not left talking nice things about the pastor. And it's like, you know, your human nature is like, It's like, I have to connect with them. You ask me because I'm a pastor, I have to call them back and see how they're doing because they're going through a hard time. And you know what I hear the Lord saying to me? Yes. You're going to preach about this Sunday, okay? And maybe you're not a pastor, but let me tell you, the Lord is going to allow situations in your life where you need to stop and say, who are they bothering me? Who are they bothering? Really, the church, the Lord? It's interesting to see how many parents, especially in the soccer world and other sports too, they get into amazing fights about stuff going on with the kids, and the kids are okay. Bring down the fences. Bring down the fences. Bring down the fences of people who are bothering you. The second point, we should connect with others even if they are very different than us. As you look for John chapter 4, I'm going to bring that up the fence again. John chapter 4. Here is the people that is different. It's on the other side of the fence, okay? And here you are. What is our human nature, says? They're so different. They're so different. So there is no reason for me to connect with them. There is no reason for me. And this is something, and I'm gonna touch some subjects while culture here today. And I heard this so many times. You shouldn't marry a person of that country, of that color, of that part of society, of that culture, because she or he is so different and just going to create a lot more troubles. And it's the truth. It's the truth. But let me tell you, is it possible that maybe God, and I'm not saying whoever you're thinking of marry because I said this, I'm just saying, is it possible that the Lord needs to put us next to people who is very, very different so he can work in some areas of our lives who are not like Jesus. One of the things that I love about this church is that you can see different cultures, socioeconomic places, different colors of the skin. And I love that. And that's why I have this thing inside of me that I'm going to have a hard time if I see or hear any racism or any making fun or any making. But this is a story, John 4, 25, 26. The woman said, the Samaritan woman, that Jesus stayed there at the well of Jacob, and the disciples went to get food. They were all hungry. And he's there at the well where the disciples are going to town, buying bread and fish or something in town. And the Samaritan woman came and said, and Jesus starts talking to her. You have to understand, the Samaritans and Jews did not talk, because Samaritans were not pure Jews. They had mixed with the Babylonian, with the Assyrians. They had mixed with other cultures. And there is all this division of the 10 and the 12 tribes. And they one say, we're going to worship here. No, God says to worship. And there's this huge, huge fight. And who is better? And who has the right idea? And who is right? And who is wrong? And so when the Samaritan woman comes and Jesus starts talking, he says, you shouldn't be talking. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now, this is people who don't know Jesus, we're talking. People who is difficult. And so many times, see, Jesus was the solution. So many times, I hope you understand what I'm going to say right now. We try to tell others what they need before we become what they need. Which is a friend, a good Christian who is there to love them, to bless them, to understand them, to help them, to pray for them, to walk with them. Are you following me here right now? It's so easy to tell others what they need. You need to change this, and you need to change this, and you sure need Jesus in your life because, woo, man, you're a mess. But Jesus became the solution. So we have these things that we need to tell others. You want to put a German-raised style guy who grew up in Argentina in Bernalillo to be a pastor of a bunch of people who are different cultures? You know what I believe the secret is? The secret is the love of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. The secret of a church who can handle, you all grew up in a different world, different ideas, different ways of thinking. Listen, I understand the cultural stuff that is inside of us. I was talking with somebody yesterday about this difference. Grew up in Argentina. I should be 100% Latino thinking, but I'm not. Ask Pastor Luis. I grew up with German parents, and I can tell you, I think different in a lot of ways because of the European influence in my life. And so we're talking about this lady who says, we shouldn't even be talking. You are Jew, and you think you're better. And I'm Samaritan. I think I'm better because I'm worshiping in the original place, and you guys did. And you say we have to worship here, and you should be even talking. And the first thing that Jesus talks to her is about what? About the spiritual things or about the natural things? About normal life. What he says, can you please give me some water? Is it possible that God is trying to teach us that we can impact spiritually somebody until we have a relationship with a person in the normal human world of needs? Are you here with me? She doesn't show up and say, I'm going to talk to you as a man. I am different because I am the Son of God, the Messiah. And I'm here to die for you so you can be saved of your horrible sins, woman. You have five husbands, and now the one you have is not your husband, and boo. And he says, give me some water. Could you please give me some water? And then, we as a church should not be acting like the rest of the world. We should not be talking. We should not have, and we should, listen, and I'm not talking about becoming so friendly with a person that is not a believer, so you go and just walk in their sins. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about bringing down the fences of our differences. Of our difference, because they were different in every way possible. They were so different that they stopped talking to each other. Period. They were so different that not only because he's a man and she's a woman, but because she is what? A Samaritan. And he is a Jew. Because you guys say this because of our history. Because of the religion, because of the temple, because you guys marry with somebody who shouldn't marry. This whole marry thing is a repeating thing in my sermon. You see that? The first one was a heck of a problem with Moses because he wasn't married. If you have an extended family, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They marry the wrong person. They should never even date. They should never in all this difference. Let me talk to you a little bit about marrying the wrong person. That was Katie 23 years ago. She married the wrong dude because I grew up German, my friends. Germans never eat at a table that doesn't have a plate with a fork on this side and a knife on this side. You think it's funny? It is funny, but it's stupid serious for us. We cut like this, and we eat like that, and the fork has to be like this, and then it's the whole thing. Mama serves the food. Mama never messes up with how much salt and pepper goes on every meal. And if she does,
because I heard it a million times come out of my mother's mouth. I am so sorry, guys, that I didn't put enough salt in the food while I was cooking. I didn't grow up with a salt and pepper shaker in the. That is offensive. You're insulting the cook. And the first time Katie cooks rice without enough salt for me, and she says, just add it to it. Are you crazy? I'm going to feel the salt in my mouth. You got to measure that exactly by the cups of rice. Talk to me about this stuff. And it dissolves in the water and it gets in. And Katie's looking like me like I am really crazy. She married the wrong guy. Germans, you don't cut the potato with a knife. That's insulting the cook. Potatoes are important for German. A sauerkraut and sausage and pork meat is, and beer also. Listen, you cut it with a fork or with a spoon. Because if you have to cut it with a knife, what you're saying is, the potato is not cooked enough. You never come to the table without washing your hands. Never, ever, ever. And if mama made pizza, you never touch the pizza. Listen, you want me to insult you a little bit? Is everybody ready for some insulting to the culture here? Everybody ready? I'm joking, okay, but I'm going to be like serious, okay? I come to church and I pray with people and I shake everybody's hands. Listen, I don't know where that hand was before they came into the sanctuary. I pray for them. And then we all go and eat pizza, and then we grab with those hands who we did not wash according to the German culture. And we touch what? The pizza. Are you crazy? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Listen, I went to eat pizza with my sister 8 and 10 months ago when I was in Argentina, and it's so interesting. Nobody in my family would ever grab a piece of pizza with their hands because that is so not hygiene. Did I say that right? Hygienic. Listen, did you want to see something funny? Make me a good sandwich. I'm probably going to bring the fork and the knife to cut it. My mom cuts the sandwich and she eats the sandwich because that's clean. Are you following me here now? Everybody feel pretty insulted now how different we are? Nah. I eat sandwich and pizza with my hands now because I am an American. I can show you. I can show you my document. It is crazy.
Not just with your hands, dirty hands.
Dirty hands too. And he knows about it. If you take me to a construction site, and the guys before, a week or 2 weeks ago, left a cup of Coca-Cola from Taco Bell somewhere, and I'm thirsty, I pray and I drink it. Because I'd rather pray than die of thirsty. Listen, my friends, are we going to fight over stuff that we are so different? Are we going to be like me? And this is a cultural thing. They are so different. And listen, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you're going to make a big fuss about the forks and knife, the potatoes, the pizza, and the sandwich. Maybe not so much, but there are other things that bother you because they don't raise the kids, because this and because that. The third point, I should connect with people. I should connect with others, even when they are full of sin. Luke 7, 36 and 50. We're going to read the whole story. Bear with me. It's good to read the Bible in church. Luke 7, 36. Now one of the Pharisees kept asking him to dine with him. So he entered the house of the Pharisee and reclined at the table. And look, a woman, who was known in the city to be a sinner, learned that he was dining in the house of the Pharisee, and she brought an alabaster jar of perfume oil. Taking a position behind him, Jesus, at his feet, she wept and began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them off with the hair of her head.
Also, she tenderly kissed his feet and poured the perfume oil on them. Seeing this, the Pharisees who had invited him said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he could know who and what kind of woman it is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. But in reply, Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, teacher, say it. Oh, he has no idea what's coming. Two men were debtors to a certain lender. The one was in debt for 500 denarii, but the other for 50. When they did not have anything to pay him back with, he freely forgave them both. Therefore, which of them will love him more? In answer, Simon said, I suppose it is the one whom he forgave more. He said to him, you judge correctly. With that, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I enter your house. You gave me no water for my feet to wash them, but this woman wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, which was culturally a well of welcoming, but this woman, from the hour that I came in, did not stop tenderly kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, which was another culture of anointing the guest, but this woman poured perfume oil on my feet. Because of this, I tell you, her sins, many though they are forgiven because she loved more. But the one who is forgiven little loves what? Little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those reclined at the table with him started to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, your faith have saved you. Go in peace. I want to see two things. The heart of Jesus and the judgmental attitude of these other guys. Let's be honest, my friend. Did you ever struggle judging people unless in your mind? Yes or no? Let's be honest. It is one of the easiest things that I don't even have to tell my mind to do. I just got to walk around and see a little kid screaming, throwing a fit at Walmart. I don't have to tell my mind to start judging that mom. To see somebody treating somebody wrong, I don't have to tell my mind. I just start judging, and I don't know anything what's going on, and I have no idea. But here Jesus is saying, did you want to help somebody to become one of the big lovers of God? Find a very big sinner. Build a relationship with them and try to lead them to Jesus. That's what I get out of this story. When was the last time that you or me said, I'm going to focus on the most horrible sinners. I'm going to focus to be a blessing to the most horrible, hard people in my family. I'm going to focus to really love, care, bless, pray, intercede, buy them stuff, take them to place. I don't know what it is, to the most disgusted, to the most, in our mind, horrible, immoral, impure, disrespectful. No, our human nature always pulls us to the easy ones. Come on, let's be honest. The easy ones. Man, I'm so excited. Thanksgiving is coming because I'm going to see this aunt. She is so amazing. Grandma is amazing. Is Uncle so-and-so coming too? You know what I'm saying? That's the attitude of these guys. What? This kind of people should not be here. And if Jesus wouldn't know, and Jesus is like, if I be Jesus, it's so easy for me to love this person, and it's so easy for this person to love me, because where there was much sin forgiven, what does Jesus say? Much love happens. I can go into relationships and marriages who have done horrible things to each other, but the Holy Spirit worked in their lives, they repented, they walked away, and the marriage is so much better now because Jesus came in the picture. And here it is. Jesus started trying to teach the disciples how to love, how to forgive, and how to bring peace into a sinner's life. Is it possible that God wants to use you to bring forgiveness and peace and tremendous love for God into a person's life that is considered a bad sinner? Is it possible? I told you that my wife married the wrong guy because I'm so different. I now, on the other side, I married the right lady. Because Katie, no offense, she loves the people in the church. She's like, well, let's invite them before dinner. Let's go. But she works at the hospital. She's a nurse. She knows so many people. But my wife is always saying, we should invite them to eat dinner in our home. Not the church people. The church people are welcome too, and she invites church people too. But my wife is always thinking more, or telling me more, maybe because she knows that I'm all about being church and my little kingdom here, and I got to be a good pastor, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest here. And we should invite them for Thanksgiving. We should invite them. We should invite these people. And who are they? You know? And she brought some people to my home that I would have never made a relationship with. Because I am a little bit like these guys. Like, man. Really? You are friends with them? You're talking to them? You invited them over for dinner? Katie hit this lady a while ago. She's a great driver. That's another joke, but. And she ends up inviting this girl who she never met before. Five cars, boom, 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 at I-25, just one of those five. This girl is alone, living here. Her family is somewhere on the other side of the country. And it was around Thanksgiving, just a few years ago. And she said, and I invited her. She's probably coming over. You invited who? A lady? And she's still going to come? Oh, man, we became such a great friend. But you hit her, you know. So I don't know who is more the Christian here in the whole picture. But here it is. Sounds like Jesus, amen? Who is helping who? Is the Christian really helping the non-believer? Or is it maybe God trying to use the non-believer to show the Christian what's in his heart? Man, because we stand up here, man, I can preach to you. We are going to heaven, and we have the gospel, and we have our Savior, and ye should connect with them. But I ask myself this week this question. Has God put these people around us because we have to be such a blessing for them? Or is it maybe that God wants to use this difficult non-believer, hard, complicated, different people to make us more Christ-like? I finished this with the six. Take your pencils out if you haven't yet, and a piece of paper. I want you to write this down. If you raise that fence with the different, with the ones who bothers you, the ones who are full of sin, the ones who are so a pain in the neck. Here's what you and I should do. Number one, if you write it down or in your phones or whatever, pray for your own heart first. Is there somebody that bothers you? Or such a horrible sin? Or so different? First, pray for your own heart. Talk to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, show me why they're bothering me so much. The second, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. The third, move towards them, not away from them. We have enough people doing that in Jesus' time. Away from those. Be more like Christ. Move towards them. Not away from them. Find ways to engage them in conversation. Meet them for a coffee. Send them a text to encourage them. Number four, find specific ways to bless and encourage them. Maybe write them a note of appreciation. Give them a book that you're reading that was a blessing for you. So again, number one, pray for your own heart. Second, pray for them. Third, move towards them. Really, Pastor? Yes. You and I need to do that. We cannot stay the same that we were yesterday. We need to do something different. Move towards them. Four, find specific ways to bless them and encourage them. Very practical ways. Practical ways. Five, give them grace. Just as God extended grace to you. Six, realize that you too could be difficult, that difficult person in someone else's life. Because if you and I say, one more question, who has a difficult person in your life? Can I see your hands? Is it possible that you are that difficult person for somebody else? Ask my wife. 20 years ago, 15 years, ask her about yesterday. Ask my kids. Ask the staff. I give you permission because I know. Is it possible that you are that difficult person? Would you close your eyes right there where you are? The heart of the gospel, like I said, is about loving difficult people. If you embrace this, God can use you in amazing ways and stop being the normal Christian and become the super normal Christian. The heart of the gospel is about Jesus coming to die on the cross for sinners, difficult, different, carnal, prideful, rebellious people. Is the heart of the gospel Jesus dealing and building a relationship and loving the difficult so much that he died on the cross for you and me? I want you right there where you are this morning to make a decision about that difficult person. Please don't walk out of this room. It's just going to keep going like this. Fans there, I love it. It's good. I don't talk to them. I don't mess with them. I'm going to keep telling them what they need. I'm not going to become what they need. No way, Jose. Or is the Lord challenging you this morning? Father, we come before your throne. Lord, I understand. I think everybody in this room understands the heart of the gospel is connecting with the sinner, with the difficult, with the different. The heart of your word, for the perfect God so loved the world that he died on the cross. Lord, some in this room this morning are deciding to die, to build a closer relationship to that difficult person, Lord. But help us to do it with a humble heart, not with a prideful heart. Help us to do it not in a way that they're going to see who is the mature one here, and they're going to see who is the better one here. Help us, Lord, and Holy Spirit, speak to us when the attitude wants to come. Lord, I ask you that you would help us, Jesus. And if you this morning in this place and you understand that you are the difficult person, would you just say, God, help me? which you just say, I'm going to go home and ask my spouse, my kids, how can I not be so difficult to you? Lord, or maybe there is a person in this place that needs Jesus into their life. Lord, right now, would you just say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. Change me, Lord. Forgive me my sins. Make me a new person. Help me, Lord, to not only connect with the difficult, but help me to not be so difficult. To stop justifying, explaining, making the excuses that I have done for such a long time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you today. Have a great Sunday.